Right. If you have your Bibles, let's take them to the book of 2 Timothy. We're studying the pastoral epistles. Excuse me. And this is the third one that was written. Titus was written before 2 Timothy. In fact, 2 Timothy is the one that Paul wrote prior to his death. So it's basically the closing letter that Paul has written. We're in chapter 1 still of 2 Timothy. And we're going to begin in verse 13 tonight. And again, it's Paul writing to Timothy as a young pastor, trying to help him and encourage him to continue to follow the Lord and to be faithful to the things of God, knowing that the times would be difficult. And again, this was written over 2,000 years ago, so you can imagine today we could say the same thing. The times are difficult. And so as we continue to look at this, it's something to challenge each one of us as well. Let's begin reading verse 13. In verse 5, he told us to remember some things, and he showed us some things. And then verse 13 says, "Hold fast the form of sound words, which thou hast heard of me in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. This thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me, of whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes." He says, "The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me, and was not ashamed of my chain. But when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and found me. The Lord grant unto him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day, and in how many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus, thou knowest very well." Let's pray. Father, again, we do thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for how you continue to teach us through it. And Father, we know that it's through the Word of God that was given to us by men that were filled with the Spirit of God that helps us to understand what your plan for our lives is. It's only by the Spirit that we can understand the Word of God, and we thank you so much that Jesus, when he was on this earth, he told us he would send the Comforter, and we're grateful that today, as we sit in this room, that we know that it's the Spirit of God that dwells in us, and that keeps us and gives us the power to continue on. We pray now you just guide and direct the next few moments. Again, we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Excuse me. So here in verse 13, he says, "Hold fast." Today, as pastor of Calvary Bible Church, I want to remind you to hold fast, to continue those things that you have read and you have heard, and then continue to grow as well. Because we have something special, and that special thing that we have is that relationship that most of the world does not have and does not understand. And in fact, most of the world will never understand it. And so Paul, as he is writing to Timothy here, he said, "Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus." And again, he's talking about the fact that the doctrine the Lord Jesus gave him is the doctrine that Timothy is to live by, and we are as well. And Paul knew this. He dedicated his life to sharing God's plan for everybody. In Romans chapter 1, verse 16, he says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." And again, it's that power that God has given to us through the Spirit of God. It's that power that changes us. How do we understand the Word of God? How do we have the faith to understand the Word of God? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. So our first initial contact is with somebody who knew the Word of God, shared the Word of God with us, and it was through the Word of God. I don't know about you, but anybody in this room got saved the first time they ever heard the Word of God? Is there anybody in here like that? There are some people maybe that are like that, but I'm not. I heard the Word of God many times before I got saved. And because I was hard of hearing, I guess, and understanding and all those things. But it was the power of the Word of God that gave me the understanding eventually to really realize what the relationship was about and my relationship with God in the condition I was in. And so Paul is just reminding Timothy to hold fast to these things. He knew there would be people that would come around and try to change the doctrine. Turn over to Romans for a second. Romans chapter 16, if you would. Romans chapter 16. Remember Sunday. What are we doing Sunday? Anybody remember? We're doing verses. So Romans chapter 6, Sunday, we're going to go through all 23 verses. And so I'm going to just call on names, and you got to give me that verse by memorization. I won't call any name, but I'll ask for volunteers and see if we can get through all of Romans chapter 6. I hope we can, but we'll see how that works out. But in Romans chapter 16, look at verse 17. Again, Paul's writing there. He says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple." There are many people today that are in this category that have deceived the hearts of the simple. There are religions, many, many religions that have told the lie. And people are following those religions. They believe the lie. And today, we know, I mean, you can look at the different denominations. I don't have to call them out to you. But they're not teaching the Bible. And that's where the truth is. The truth is not some other person coming along saying, "Well, here's the truth." That's not the way it works. Because if his truth doesn't line up with this, it's not truth at all. It's a lie. And that's what Paul is trying to warn Timothy about. It's going to happen. Turn over to Galatians. Again, many times in the Bible where Paul has written, he has given this warning or these warnings because he knows these are facts. This is what's going to happen. In fact, he's experienced it. He saw it firsthand, and that's why he's warned many of these churches. In Galatians chapter 1, look at verse 6, Galatians chapter 1, verse 6. Again, Paul is writing through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He says, "I marvel," and again, remember, he's writing to the Galatians here because they have strayed from the faith. Someone came in behind them, what we call the Judaizers, and told them that they had to be circumcised to be saved. That is not a fact. That's a lie. Now, I don't know that they went in and said, "You shouldn't accept Christ." I have no idea, but they taught that you had to be circumcised. And Paul, that makes the case in the book of Galatians that that's not true. And in verse 6, in verse chapter 1, he says, "I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel." So what is he telling these folks? He's rebuking them, but what is he telling him right there? Not a private interpretation. What's he saying? So soon. So quickly. That's right. And so he's talking to people that he went and started this church, preached to these people, and now he's writing a letter because he's heard of their difficulties, their situation. He's saying, "Wow, so soon have you turned." And you know, that's how quickly the devil can get in and can change our minds, our hearts, and give us that desire to follow him. Verse 7 says, "Which is not another, but there are some that trouble you, which would pervert the gospel of Christ." So they came in and they changed the gospel of Christ. They added to it. Verse 8 says, "But that though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed." He's saying, if anybody comes in and teaches you otherwise apart for us today, the scriptures, let him be accursed. In other words, separate from him. Get him out. Or her. Or whoever it is. Because they're teaching a false doctrine. And it's easy for us to be dissuaded. Years ago, I don't have the statistics right now, but years ago, I heard statistics. The Mormon Church, the Jehovah's Witness, those folks, their church are made up of a lot of Baptists, so-called Baptists. And what it is that people who have been going to the Baptist church, and Baptist churches are all different, by the way. They're not all the same. They even have different names, Free Will and other types of Baptist churches. But these were supposedly Baptists. They would tell you, "I'm a Baptist," okay? And they were convinced of the doctrine of the Jehovah's Witnesses and the Mormons. Why did that happen? It happened because they didn't study, they didn't really live it, they weren't practicing the sound doctrine of the Bible. So they didn't know the difference when they met these people. They didn't know that they had a different doctrine. They didn't know. And both of these groups of people, their religion is based on works. And they couldn't see that. And so they were converted into these religions. Now, these people are nice people. These people are not mean people. They're not people that would probably want to riot or any of that type of thing. They're not that type of people. They really believe what they have been taught. It's just that they've been taught the wrong thing. And that's how subtle it is. And that's what's going on here in this church. And that's why Paul is writing to Timothy to hold fast, is because this could happen in his church. Verse 9 says, "As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed." These were believers. They had received the gospel. And now someone has come in behind them and says, "Well, it's not all by faith." You guys got that wrong. You got to add to that faith, and that faith you have to add to is something called works. It's called circumcision, to be specific. You know, God did make a covenant with Abraham. You remember that, right? All the children of Israel had to be circumcised, male children, had to be circumcised because that was their covenant. That was the law. We are no longer under that law. And that's what some people believe, is that you've got to prove, or your faith has to be demonstrated in doing this particular act, which is not the case. And so Paul is just reminding them that's not true. And so you and I know that each day, if we're not careful, we're bombarded with different kinds of doctrine. I don't know if we're kind of isolated up here. We don't meet a lot of people. You know, if you go to a big city and you're out and about, and especially if you're witnessing, going knocking on doors and stuff, you meet a lot of different people. And they have a lot of different views on a lot of different things. Huh? And they're knocking on your door too. That's right. Absolutely. And I'd like to encourage you, when they come knocking on your door, don't go run and hide. Go out and greet them. Know your Bible well enough to at least share the gospel with them. One of the things I always hit the Jehovah's Witnesses up right away is I go to Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3, where it says, "Prepare you the way of Jehovah." There's going to be one. And then I take him to Matthew chapter 4 and say, "There he is, John the Baptist, and that's Jesus." That confuses some of them, okay? And so you just want to be, if you can't deal with it, don't go answering your door, because I don't want you to be like the Galatians and get, "Oh, that sounds good. Come on into my house." The Bible teaches we're not even to wish him Godspeed, okay? But, you know, one of the most controversial things is religion. What's the other? Anybody know? Politics. That's right. Those are the two most controversial subjects. So here he's just trying to help them and warn them about this. Go back to 2 Timothy chapter 1. You know, we have a lot of things out there that want to confuse us. And, you know, a lot of people know just bits and pieces of the Bible. A lot of kids have went to Sunday school class and heard the name of Jesus. They've heard the stories of Moses and David and some of the other stories that we all teach all the time. And so they have a little bit of knowledge, but that's where they get in trouble. And again, we also have this bombardment of the different versions. And, you know, if you don't know why you believe what you believe, it's easy to get into one of those versions and think they're okay. But see, you have to ask yourself, see, like this says, "That ye may approve things that are excellent." Can anybody get saved out of the New King James Version? Sure they can. There's the gospel in that. They could even get saved out of the NIV, which is not a translation at all. Okay, it's a transliteration. Yes, they can. But the problem is, when you understand and you start following Christ and you realize that you want to know the truth, you will not find the truth in those versions. There are some differences, and they're subtle. Why would that be? Well, God's the author of confusion, the Bible says. Where's the red alarms? Pastor, you're wrong. No, God is not the author of confusion. Who is Satan? And that's so, there's all these things, and that's why, again, Paul is writing to Timothy, is to help him to see these things will come, and sometimes you won't even catch them until it's too late. So you have to be steadfast or hold fast to the former sound doctrine. How do you hold fast to something? Study it. Be in it. You know, there are times when you don't memorize everything in the Bible. I definitely don't. But we know what's in there because we read it and we go back. It's in there. It's like when you read your Bible. I don't know about you, but this is why I keep with the same Bible. I don't go to the Thompson and I got a Zodiates. I got a bunch of different Bibles. I keep with the Scofield Bible. What he's written in there is not all true, by the way. Okay? But what I like about it, it doesn't depend really on what size I get. I got a big one and I got a real small one. And everything's just about laid out the same. So I can flip through it because I've read these things, and I can go to the page because I know it's on the top part of the page there somewhere in a certain book. I can just go through there and find it sometimes when I can't remember the reference. That's why I think it's important to read your Bible, and really it's good to keep the same Bible that you have if it's a good Bible. But anyway, that's an extra, so. But anyway, there was a minister, he was from Ardington. He said this, we've closed our minds to such trivial considerations as the question of the resurrection of Christ. He says, if you fundamentalists wish to believe that nonsense, we have no objections. But we have more important things to preach than the presence of or absence of an empty tomb 20 centuries old. I tell you, that's something wrong. You know, that makes all the difference in your doctrine. Just like someone says, well, I don't believe in the virgin birth. That makes a big difference in the doctrine that you believe. Because those are important fundamentals you have to understand. Because without that, then Christ is just like we are. Right? So here he's, sorry about the breath thing. He's again warning. I don't know about you, but I've heard this often. And people would say this. This is why it's so subjective, I guess, is people would say, well, that's the way you interpret the Bible. You ever heard anybody say that? That's why it's important to study it. Now, do we get everything right? No. Are there things in there we don't understand? Yes. Going to Daniel chapter 9, and there's some things, you know, some of his visions. We don't have everything, but what we have, and that's what we can study. And so there's things that we don't know everything, but we also know that there's only one interpretation. In 2 Peter, turn over there for a second. In 2 Peter chapter 1. Again, these are good verses to kind of put back in, someone said, maybe your computer or whatever you got there for a mind. I think years ago it used to be a Rolodex. Now it's the computer, so whatever. But just kind of put this back there so you know where these things are, because it's important sometimes to be able to share with others about things strictly from the Bible, not that you're making those up or anything, but that you can show them. It says in verse 20, it says, knowing this, that no prophecy of the Scripture, this is 1 Peter chapter 1, or 2 Peter chapter 1, getting you confused already, no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. So what is that telling us right there? No Scripture is of any private interpretation. We're all tired, aren't we? It says what it says. I personally believe that there's one interpretation of the Bible, many applications. That doesn't mean that I've got the interpretation of everything in the Bible right. That's not what it means. It means whatever's in the Bible's right. And that's something we need to understand and settle on. Verse 21 says, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man. And that just means nobody sat down, like some people want to claim, and wrote the Bible. Hey, I'm going to write this fairy tale for everybody. Okay? It didn't come by the will of man. But holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So men of God wrote these things. And they wrote these because they were filled with the Spirit of God that guided them and directed them. Is there a verse in the Bible that tells us that would happen? This is a verbal test. Huh? Turn to John chapter 14. Your answer is correct. And verse, I'm not sure. I think it's 23, but I can't remember. John chapter 14. Go ahead and read that, Randy. No, yeah, 14:26. He's speaking to the disciples here, and he's reminding them, when I leave, you know, it's not going to be a burden on you to have to remember all this, because I'm going to give you the power through the Spirit of God to bring back those things. And that's exactly what the Lord does for us, too. He helps us in that area, too, when there's things, when we study and we read the Bible, maybe not memorizing everything verbatim, but He will help us and bring things. So it's amazing when you do memorize that you could be somewhere and all of a sudden you're confronted with a situation. And maybe you're with somebody, too. And I've seen this happen. It's just, you know, you're sitting there, you're talking to somebody, and maybe you're witnessing to somebody, and this is the context I guess I'm speaking of, maybe went door to door or something. And you're sitting there talking to somebody, and you're going along, things are going good, and all of a sudden you kind of forget something. Well, the partner you're with, all of a sudden, he just steps right in. The Lord just brings back those things and He continues on. Or even it happens to you. There are many times that it's happened to me when I've been talking to somebody. I remember the first time it occurred is when I was talking to a bunch of guys at work and I had my Gideon New Testament in my back pocket. I whipped it out and I started turning to the Bible and I was going to all kinds of passages. I didn't know. How did I get all these places? It was God that was just leading me through that, tongues and all this other stuff. Somebody said something about tongues, and so I went to Corinthians, and you know, it just, I said, wow, this is so neat how God can do this. And that's what He wants to do, and He will do it for us if we're willing to submit ourselves and follow Him in these areas. So here, Timothy is being warned, in a sense, or trying to be encouraged, to hold fast to these things. And again, remember that Paul got his doctrine. What was his source for his doctrine? Jesus Christ, that's right. And Paul said in Galatians 1:1, Paul an apostle, not of men, neither by men, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. He said that's is where he got his doctrine, was from God. Turn to Galatians again, chapter 1. And Jim, would you do me a favor and read tonight? I've already called on you to do so much. I have. Why don't you do some more? Verse 10 through 17. Yes, sir. Galatians. Okay, that's good. Thank you. So again, he explains to the church there that he received it by revelation of Jesus Christ. And again, that's important because he's been given this. That's why he's an apostle, is because he met the Lord on the road to Damascus. There are two requirements to be an apostle. Does anybody remember what those are? I'm sorry? They've seen the Lord Jesus Christ, yeah. Huh? They were followers or they were saved. They were saved. So the major one, though, is that they seen Christ. They actually seen Christ. Paul, he was one after the fact when he met Jesus on the road to Damascus. And we don't see any other accounts in the Bible of that in the New Testament where Jesus met somebody on some road somewhere. So he was the least, and he called himself the least of the apostles because of that as well. So here we see that Paul was given the doctrine, and it was through the Lord Jesus Christ. And he knew what the foundations were, and that's what he's trying to teach Timothy. Let's go back there to Timothy. We're going to get closer here to moving on around here. In 2 Timothy, he says, "Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard in me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus." He says, "That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us." And that good thing in this case for him was the fact that he was just like Paul. He made that statement that he thanked God that God counted him worthy to put him in the ministry. Timothy was put in the ministry. Everybody who's born again, I personally believe, is, should be and is, according to the scripture, in the ministry. Maybe not pastoring this church at this time in their life, but the closer I get through this thing and the more I study the Bible, God is pulling out of congregations people who are believers to send them some. Where do we get our pastors, our missionaries, our evangelists? Where should they come from? Anybody want to tell us? Churches, that's right. Exactly right. And so it's important. Now, we have delegated that to some degree and sent our kids off to Bible college. Okay? Why did you send your kid off to Bible college? A lot of you in here sent your kids off to Bible college. I have 6 of them. Why did you do that? Besides to get them married. That's one of those benefits, right? No, just anybody want to answer that? Okay. So what I understand you to say is that the church is not doing its job. No, it's not. Well, think about it. Where is the pillar and ground of the truth stated in the Bible? Is it in the Bible college? No, it's in the church. Now, because we delegate that, because we've allowed to, what we have done is lost the vision of God. You ought to be grounded in the Word of God. How long, you know, I'm not going to ask you how long you've been a Christian. And I ought to be to the point where we can teach. You're teaching now. Others are teaching. We're teaching those kids. That's where they ought to be taught, is in the church. We're responsible to show them the Lord Jesus Christ and to put, just like the Bible college. Now, I'm not trying to say let's kick out the Bible colleges and all that stuff. I'm just telling you, we've lost our way, really, as believers in Christ and not doing the things we should be doing. You see, go to Ephesians chapter 4. You know where we're going, okay? We've been here, I don't know how many times, but we're always going to go back here because, again, this is demonstrating. And I'm the one, as I think about this past 14 years, I feel kind of bad because I feel like I've neglected some things. There are opportunities in our church if we're willing to do those. Like we can have a little Bible, and I'm thinking, Lord willing, if you know, however long I'm going to be here, but for the next kids coming up, I want to start something that they're going to be taught here. It may not be on Sunday or Wednesday, but something they can be taught, if they want to, the Scriptures more in detail. Why? Because it's our responsibility, and it needs us to be studying the Bible so we can be those teachers that they're going to need. We shouldn't have to send them off. You know what? I bet you most of us, myself included, don't even hardly know the instructors at these schools anymore. Vassar's changed over. I think they only got two that I went there. Dr. Childs, and he's not teaching. And Dr. Shred's still there. I think Spencer, he came after I'd already started. But the ones that I started, I think they're all gone. So it's changed over. And I'm just saying, we send them to people we don't even know. And yet the people we do know, we don't do anything with them. So this is my thinking, and you can help me out, because this is what I think the Bible teaches. Ephesians chapter 4, In verse 11, and again you know this, it says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Where's the body of Christ? We are the local assembly of it. Of course, the body of Christ is everybody who puts their faith and trust in Jesus, but we are to teach here, and missionaries should come out of local churches. Evangelists should come out of local churches. Pastors should come out of local churches. Sunday school teachers should come out, or teachers ought to come out of local churches. Why? Because that's our responsibility, is to do this. Verse 13 says, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And again, that's talking about when we finally meet Christ, really, but we ought to be perfecting all the time, but we ought to be in unity. Our goals ought to be the same. We want to train our families. We want to see people do the work of the ministry, people telling other people, sharing the gospel. One day, I promise you, it's going to happen. Mark my words, if you're around, you're not going to be able to tell anybody in this community about Lord Jesus Christ. Open your mouth, and someone's going to lock you up. You're going to have to come over here, and you probably can't even come here. You're going to have to do it at home or go huddle somewhere where nobody can see you, because if they find out you're there, they're going to come lock you up. That, we're giving that away because we're not doing the job that we're to do. And I take a lot of blame on this as myself. As I'm, the more I study this, the more it makes sense to me that that's why we're here. So it's the purpose is to equip the saints. 1 Peter 2:2 says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. 2 Peter 3:18, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. It's a wonderful thing to know about salvation. Praise God. But that's not all that's in the Bible. There's so much more. And once we learn those things, we ought to be practicing those things and quit allowing the world to dictate what we do. It's hard because we live in a world that's taking over. I heard a little bit of the Kavanaugh confirmation hearings or whatever, and they're worried about people who are religious because they got a different viewpoint on things. Go study the founding fathers and what they said extraneous from the Constitution. Go hear what they had to say about the Bible. You will understand real quick that's what they built this country on, was the Word of God and the importance of it. And we're losing out. We're losing bad. We're getting to the point now where maybe we're just hanging on and saying, come quickly, Lord Jesus. I know I feel that way often. Real quick, back to 2 Timothy. So we know that God's given us the truth. It's given us through the Holy Spirit. Brandy read John chapter 14, verse 26 for us. And again, that he will do that for us. Without the Spirit of God, we can't even understand the Bible. You can go to 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse, or 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 13, look that up again for yourself. But then he goes on, he shares a few more things in 2 Timothy. And we're going to close this chapter out so we can move on to chapter 2 next week. But he goes on and says, I'm going to get there. In verse 15 says, this thou knowest, that all they that which are in Asia be turned away from me. He's saying the people in Asia, some of the churches in Asia, have turned their back on Paul, even though he gave them sound doctrine. You remember in Revelation chapter 2, it talked about the church at Ephesus? This is the one Timothy is pastoring. You remember what it said? What was their, I think it's chapter 2, verse 14, what it said about what their problem was? They were good folks. They did a lot of good things, but what did it say? Does anybody remember that church particularly? They lost their first love. And that's the whole thing, isn't it? Nothing else matters. Once we lose our love for Christ, whatever you do, no matter what it is, you can call it for Christ or not. It's not. It's for yourself. Look at me. It's Trumpism. You ever hear this guy talk about himself? He's the greatest. He's done nothing wrong, and everything's better because of him. I think he's done a lot of good things, but I wish he'd shut up. But anyway, that's enough of that. So he says these people have turned from. Then he gives specific names. He says of whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. Now, we don't really know who these people are necessarily. Couldn't find anything about them in the Bible, but these are people that probably at one time were following Paul. We've met people that are Christians or claim to be Christians that at one time were members of this church and no longer probably don't go anywhere. We might wonder, were they even saved? Because I believe a saved person has some kind of desire for the things of God, or should. And he said in verse 16, the Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain, but when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and found me. He says, here's somebody that helped me. And I think what you can get from this is that you need to choose your friends wisely. Okay? Proverbs 29:27 says, an unjust man is an abomination to the just. He that is upright in the way is an abomination to the wicked. Now, I'm not talking about not being friendly to people. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about, and it's the fine line. The only reason this is a fine line is because we don't take the Bible at heart. If we ever took the Bible at heart, truly took it for what it's saying, there would be no fine line between who we fellowship and who we wouldn't. There's no fine line there according to Scripture. Mark them. Avoid them. You know, it tells us. But we make it a fine line. And that I understand that because I'm the same way. I've got lost relatives. And there are times that, you know, I want to see them saved, but I don't always preach the gospel to them every time I see them. I ought to. That's what it all ought to be about. But I'm saying if we really stick to what God's Word teaches us, we would be altogether different, I think. We're moving that way, but we're not perfected yet. So we want to make sure we choose those people that we know are going to be faithful. And those people ought to be people who are actively serving God. If you know a Christian and he's not going to church, question, should you have fellowship with that person? Yes or no? You tell me. What's the answer to that question? I hear no. Is that true or is it not true? According to the Scripture, not according to me, because I'm going to do the opposite. You wait and see. But according to Scripture, we shouldn't have fellowship with them. Why? Because they're not in fellowship with God. How do we have fellowship with God? It's through Jesus Christ, right? But what else? Is it just being saved? What's our fellowship with Christ based on right now? Salvation and what is it? What? Obedience. That's right. And so that's all Paul is trying to get through Timothy, is to help him to understand these things are going to come about, and you need to be watching for this. You need to be preaching the truth, teaching people to understand. There are going to be some hard times. And again, this is way over 2,000 years ago that this was preached to Timothy or written to Timothy. And we are far, far from those days. It's something to think about. It's something to ask God to give us wisdom and strength about, to help us to be reminded that the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And it's there for us that it will help us to know Christ better. We want to have the attitude that Paul had about knowing the sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is being real with God. And it really takes all of us. We should be one unified group here. We should be following the Lord and seeking the lost and serving Christ, raising our families to serve Christ, encouraging each other. It doesn't happen all the time, does it? We could all raise our hand and say, I'm guilty, because we all are, myself, we all. But now I want to challenge you. Let's look to the Lord and ask Him to help each one of us to prove those things that are excellent so we know what is right and what is wrong. That's what this whole book is about. And you're still trying. And that's right. And that's what we all want. See, this is an example. Go ahead, finish. I'm sorry. Yeah? But you don't dwell on the mistakes. See, something, I don't know, I think most people know this in here. I don't know the whole story, but John gave up a lot one day, a long time ago, when you left the Masons. You made a choice, didn't you? You made a choice that you're going to put God first other than that group. Now, I wasn't here. I don't know all how it took place. But to me, that's a testimony of choosing right. And I think it's important that we have men like John who've done those things. And like John said, he's not perfect, but none of us are. But you know what? We're all going to get there one day when we see the Lord Jesus Christ. We will be perfect. But the thing most importantly is that we're striving and we're not giving up. We're not backing down and we're not letting go. Let's pray. Father, again, we do thank you for your love for us. We thank you for the Word of God. I thank you for the challenge, Father, that I need in my life. And Father, I know that each one of us are seeking you diligently and looking to you that we might be able to walk in your ways. Father, teach us, help us and comfort us, and give us the strength that we need. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.